Hello and welcome back to the Edge of the Box podcast, a podcast by WhoScored.com in association with Ultimate Fan. I'm your host, Champions League Dan Bardell, joined by George Ellick and Jonathan Wilson to have a quick look at the final day of the season. This is obviously going to be a shortened show because there isn't, frankly, much going on except for the title race, which feels quite cut and dry itself. But we have also recorded an end of the season review where we pick our teams of the season and dish out some awards. So watch out for that as well on the Who Scored YouTube channel. Right then, chaps. Well, George, question. Yes.
Have you changed your name by Deadpool?
Yeah, I'm going to. Also, I've changed my alarm clock to the Champions League anthem. So when I wake up, I remember that Villa are in the Champions League.
So maybe tomorrow evening I'll be Championship George Ellick if Oxford beat Bolton in Pearl Final.
Yeah, I don't know what the Championship theme tune is, but you can officially change your alarm to the
what tune do they play on the Papa John's advert? Is that what I should have as my alarm?
No.
No.
No, let's boycott that. We boycott that trophy.
Leave an answer in the comments if you know what the Papa John's trophy theme tune is, please, if you can. Right, then
it would be the same as whatever, you know, Sunderland's League One playoff winners 2 seasons ago, so we'd be in the same boat.
I'm proud of is the Papa John's, an actual trophy.
There's a League One playoff trophy.
No, it doesn't count that. Villa have won the Championship.
There's that great line of Matthew Engels. He was writing about, I think this is like late 70s, when Sheffield United went top of the fourth division. And he said, seeing Sheffield United go top of the fourth division is a bit like hearing that a friend has been made head of the prison library. You want to say well done, but really you're thinking, how on earth did you get there in the first place? And that's very much how I feel about the League One playoff trophy. I guess the Papa John's falls in a similar category, but still.
I know that Papa John's can never be taken away from you. The fact it's got such a fun sponsor as well. If it had like a more boring sponsor, it wouldn't mean as much. But the fact it's Papa John's,
it's a Bristol Street Motors now.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah.
That's rubbish.
Do they have to retire the sponsorship because Sunderland have won it? It was like they were never going to match that level of glory.
Sunderland have gone, so we're pulling our funding.
that completely proves my point about it being a better win with it being called the Papa John's Trophy. It's like when the League Cup was called the Coca-Cola Cup. That's just better. That's better than, I don't know, the Carabao Cup, isn't it? I don't mind a Carabao, in all fairness. Anyway, we've not got time for this. What are we doing? I've completely derailed the start of the show. It's the final day preview, Jonathan. And to be honest, I don't really feel like we've got much we can preview because it just feels like Manchester City will win their game and therefore win the league. And after midweek, everything else is sewn up.
Now, football is a capricious god. Goddess, perhaps.
I don't know what capricious means, so...
Like unpredictable, sort of goes on whims. Sort of, I sort of can see football just because everybody thinks that it's done and dusted. Suddenly, giving Haaland one of the worst days of his career, where he misses everything, and West Ham get one of those games, which they do occasionally have, where they somehow resist and resist and resist and resist. I mean, that's not going to happen, is it? It's going to be 4-0 to City. But
you started to get me excited then about that, about the last day. I thought you were on to something.
The mood in the country is I think the impression I get is most Arsenal fans think it's done. I think most City fans even think it's done. Maybe if that just seeps in, maybe. Moyes has got a terrible record against the top six, but then he did win at Arsenal earlier in the season, which was, I think it was that his first win away against the top six since the 15th century or something. Maybe he could do it again. Maybe Moyes' grand farewell from West Ham can be just to be difficult and awkward. And he can be difficult and awkward. He's got that in his locker.
On the break, can't they? Kudos.
It feels done.
Yeah, if Manchester City Tottenham had been a draw, that would have been an ideal result because it would have still meant Villa qualify for the Champions League, which was the most important thing of the entirety of the season. It would have set up the last day a bit nicer, wouldn't it? I mean, I guess it's Tottenham fans you feel for here. They've forgotten who they're supposed to support. They're going to watch their team on Sunday, not sure who they're supposed to support. Do they go back to supporting their own team now? They're quite confused.
I mean, personally, I think if you're a Spurs fan who from the first whistle wanted your team to lose that game, I don't understand where your priorities are. And this is...
I do totally understand.
Really?
Yeah, completely.
I just don't. I mean, if it was a dead rubber for Spurs, I think 100% I get it. I think with Champions League football on the table and what that can bring. And I know they've had Champions League, they've had success and failure there recently, but in terms of retaining players, in terms of what it does, recruiting new players, it's kind of revolutionary for a football club, I think, to qualify for the Champions League, and it gets you further along in the process of where you want to get to. So for me,
no, but like, I
can understand why they may have not wanted Son to score that goal, because it would have made it a draw with 10 minutes to go, and then a draw would have been the worst result because they'd have been knocked out and they'd have brought Arsenal back into it. But to go into the game, and I'm almost kind of relieved for Son that a guy who's been an unbelievable player for Spurs for that long doesn't suddenly become an Arsenal hero. But I think if you go into the game and if Spurs have scored after a minute and you're not celebrating, then that doesn't, I don't get it.
You know, winning the league title is indelible. It's there forever. You know, say if Arsenal won the league on a regular basis, fine. They won another one, doesn't matter. But the fact to be their first league title for 20 years, and the idea that you're the team who's handed it to them, and what does it mean to be in the Champions League? It might mean that they get a load of money and they keep loads of players and they get some glamorous games that they win and they get to the quarterfinal, maybe even the semi-final, and they improve their coefficient and that money starts a virtuous cycle. It might mean they get some money, they spend it on some duds, they go out the Champions League early, it knacks them out for the league campaign, they finish ninth and they're back where they started. There's nothing permanent, but you can get
No, for sure.
Getting in the Champions League, it's transitory. Whereas your rivals winning the league is there forever, and so that is a way, way bigger thing. I'd rather take the short term. I mean, it's not even pain, is it? The short term pain of being in the Europa League.
But isn't even just the dreaming? Like there'll be Spurs fans who were in Milan in 2010 who watched Gareth Bale that night put in one of the greatest performances of Champions League history. That is indelible. Like that is a moment that they will never forget. It'll be part of their identity as Spurs fans forever. And you don't get that in the Europa League. You don't get that in the Conference League.
They might just win the Europa League.
True.
I mean, Dav know better than me.
One game as opposed to having to hear Arsenal scribe as champions for a year, having to hear... Arsenal fans bang on about how when we won the league in 2024, having to hear whoever the modern equivalent Nick Hornby is talk about the day we won it at home to Dyche's Everton, if it was Sunderland and Newcastle, I absolutely would rather Sunderland were relegated than Newcastle won the league. I'd rather Sunderland win League One than Newcastle win the league.
Whoa. I mean, I'm no Swindon fan, and it's maybe slightly different stakes, but I would always prioritise the success of my club.
Same, but then I guess my rivals are so bad that it's probably not something I have to massively worry about. So yellow card for Jonathan, by the way, for using three words in this podcast that I don't know what they mean, and then a warning for George as well for
repeating. Are you over three? Capricious?
Capricious, indelible was one. There was another one. Transitory? Was that the third one?
All kinds. You've done well to remember them.
All kinds. I know, I have done well to remember them, actually.
Indelible means it can't be deleted.
Right.
So like indelible ink. And transitory means it's come and gone. It happens in transition. It's there and it's not. It's not permanent.
Wow, you do too much of that other podcast on the overlap.
I'm glad you've mentioned that. If anybody wants a top draw football history podcast, it was what it was with me and Rob Draper. Available on all podcast outlets.
I'm seeing it advertised on social media because you can't scroll through social media without it being there, Jonathan. So everyone knows about it, I'm sure.
But yeah, so we started with some mainstream ones. We started with Alex Ferguson 89-90 when he was saved by Mark Robbins, or was he? And we've done Arsenal winning the league on the final day. I think we've got Jurgen Klopp's origin story next week, but we do get to kind of like obscure Hungarians before too long.
We do that on this podcast.
Oh, you can't keep me away.
I'm looking forward to the mention of the Edge of the Box podcast on your overlap podcast next week. That's going
to
be.
Yeah, no, I mean, you should listen very carefully to every second for when that turns up. Yeah.
Oh well, I'll be listening with open ears. Is that even a phrase? I feel very thick on the show today. Also, but the end of season review that we did, I also came a cropper in that as well. So I'm feeling very thick this morning. Not the sharpest tool in the box. Right then, I don't really know what we do. What do we do here? Because it does feel inevitable, doesn't it, George? And we've been here before, but I guess if City do win it, they deserve a huge amount of credit because, yes, they're the best team, but it's hard to keep that mentality going year upon year. And if they do it again, you know, Arsenal have ran them very close. Just that City's mentality, isn't it, that they just come alive at the back end of the season?
Yeah, they're just winners and they're very good. They've got incredible players. And to win four Premier League titles in a row, I know there are a lot of people out there who'll say when you spend the kind of money that they do and you have the financial clout they do, it's what you should expect. But the fact has never really been done before. You know, you look around Europe and you see, you know, Bayern Munich, who should win that league comfortably on that by that metric, losing out by 20 odd points to Leverkusen this season. Like, it's not easy to do this. I think we can become very immune to what Manchester City do. And I understand that part of that is because, you know, maybe it's not particularly romantic. Maybe people don't like how clinical City are. And they may not be the, you know, we talk about the evolution of Pep Guardiola, and it is the beauty of watching that Barcelona side 15 years ago compared to City now. Like, it's moments of sheer quality from De Bruyne that get the heart racing and Phil Foden, but it's not quite as, you know, aesthetically pleasing football. It's still very possession heavy, but they just kind of keep teams at arm's length for the most part. But hey, just an incredible side. And, you know, it's great that we have Arsenal pushing them as close as we do, because I don't think they're going to go away. But with Liverpool losing Klopp, and you have to think that there's going to be a bit of a transition period once Slot comes in, it's hard unless Pep Guardiola decides to walk away, or unless the Premier League act on the well, I'm sure they are trying to act, unless they're able to actually do anything about all the charges held against City. I think we're in the middle of a period of dominance rather than coming towards the end of one.
Yeah, the headlines really from the last day. Chelsea have actually got an outside chance, Jonathan, of getting fifth. Looks like they're probably going to get top six now. It'd be incredible if Spurs did make a mess of the last day and Chelsea ended up finishing fifth. You know, it felt like they were just a mid-table side all season. But then the last few weeks, something's clicked and they look a good outfit.
Yeah, I think Pochettino's sort of worked out, he sort of sifted through the millions of players they've got and he's found a core. And I think it's helped that Fernandes has not been available. I think he's a really, really good player, but you've got to remember that for 6 months of the season, he was playing with a hernia. And I think that's really affected his mobility. And I think you'll see that, you know, Fernandes being closer to what he was at Benfica next season. I certainly wouldn't be writing him off, but whether you can play him and Caicedo together, I mean, I thought they would be a good pairing, but it hasn't worked, and Caicedo's looked better since Fernandes hasn't been there. Cole Palmer's obviously hit brilliant form the last couple of months. Madueke, I think, has looked really promising. Even Mudrick's shown a few more flickers. Nicholas Jackson, who I sort of feel we've been saying this all season, that the finishing isn't great, but a lot of the rest of his game is very, very good. His hold-up play, his movement. So if he, you know, I think the comparison with Drogba is on the one hand slightly lazy, but on the other hand, it's not totally, you know, erroneous in that I don't think he's ever going to be a 30 goal a season striker, but I think he can regularly be a 15 to 20 goal a season forward, and everything else he brings to the team, you know, in terms of his movement, his hold up play, you know, I think he's a really promising player as well. So yeah, things do seem to have settled down there. But you also sort of think, you know, people are going to say, oh, does this show that they were right to spend the £1 billion? No, it shows how good they could have been if they only spent £250 million, and rather than spend, you know, rather than buying everybody, work just out the ones who needed. Yeah. And still financially, I think they've got some serious issues over summer to fit in with PSR. So yeah, that's not over. But yeah, it's, If you do have lots and lots and lots of really good players and a pretty good manager, eventually it should sort of settle down, and that is what's happened.
Yeah, and there's nothing else really going on the final day. I suspect we'll see lots of strange games, lots of goals.
Goals
galore, as we often do see on the last day. Maybe a 5-5 thrown in there in Klopp's last game. I think Villa will rest a lot of players. I really fancy Palace to run riot under Glasner on the last day with Elise and Eze as well. So there'll still be some excitement there. But the real excitement comes with the Who Scored Predictions League. I've got Jonathan and Sam still top, 240. I have made a semi-decent fist of catching up through last week's games and the games in midweek. So I'm on 231 now. George, I think it's safe to say he's going to finish bottom. He's on 203 and those. Congratulations.
It's times 10 points this week. So
wave only. Congratulations to George there for breaking the 200 barrier. Nice of you to join us in there. I was a bit worried at one point you weren't going to make it, but you have broke the 200 barrier. The Brighton Chelsea result, I got that score bang on. So that's given me a glimmer of hope. So,
well, that's the difference, isn't it? You've gained 3 points this week, and they were the 3 points. So
yeah, that's I think that gives me a fighting chance on the last day, and because it is the last day. Anything can happen. You know, this is the real excitement here, not the title race. Anything can happen in the predictions league. So let's do our predictions then. Arsenal, Everton, Jonathan.
2-0 to Arsenal.
Damn, I've done the same. 2-0.
I've done the same.
The terrible start. George has done the same as well. We'll humour him and pretend he's involved.
shall I drop off?
No, it's fine. You can do that. Brentford v Newcastle, please, George.
3-1 Newcastle.
3-1 Newcastle, Jonathan.
2-1 Brentford.
I've gone 4-2 to Brentford. Thrown in a wild one. Brighton 1, Manchester United 1 here, Jonathan.
Also 1-1, get in.
Oh, this is an absolute disaster.
This is shutting the game down perfectly. This is beautiful.
Oh, this is parking.
We've got a maximum 2-point swing so far.
Oh, this is awful. George?
3-3.
3-3, I like it. Burnley Forest, George?
2-1 Burnley.
2-1 Burnley. Jonathan?
2-1 Forest.
3-1 Forest. Close. Chelsea, Bournemouth, please. I'll go first. I've gone for another 4-2. There's got to be a 4-2 somewhere at the weekend. Jonathan?
I've gone 2-1 to Chelsea.
2-1. George?
3-1 Chelsea.
3-1 to Chelsea. Palace Villa, please, George?
5-2 Palace.
Whoa! I don't disagree with that, Jonathan.
2-1 to Palace.
And I've gone for 3-1 to Palace. Villa are firmly going to be on the beach, I think. Liverpool Wolves, Klopp's last game. I have gone for 3-0 to Liverpool. Jonathan?
3-0 to Liverpool.
Oh, no. George?
3-0 Liverpool. What are the chances?
Luton, Fulham, George?
4-2 to Fulham.
4-2, I love it. Jonathan?
2-1 to Luton. Sorry, 2-1 to Luton.
I've gone for 2-0 to Luton. City v West Ham, please, Jonathan.
3-0 to City.
I've gone 4-0 to City. George?
3-0 City.
3-0 to City. And then we'll finish with Sheffield United, Spurs, George.
5-1 Spurs.
5-1 to Spurs, Jonathan.
3-1 to Spurs.
3-1 to Spurs. And then I've gone in with a 2-2. Could be crucial.
Okay.
Can I even beat you?
Yeah, there's a maximum 15 point differential.
Right.
But it's good that we've taken three games out of the equation.
It is going to be really tough. This is the one everyone wants. No one cares about who wins the title. The people that watch this podcast will be who is winning the predictions league. That's what they're interested in. Right, that does us then slightly short, well, quite a lot shorter show. But as I said, we did do an end of season review as well. So that will be coming out when it comes out. If you subscribe with your notifications on, you'll know exactly when it's coming out. It won't matter what I say in the outro. But yes, shortened show today because there isn't really anything to discuss in the last day, it feels like. But we've done a show anyway. Thanks to George and Jonathan for joining me through the season and today. And thanks to other people that have appeared as well, such as Ali Maxwell and where's the other guy? What's his name? Oh, Sam. Sam Ty has been on the show a few times as well, getting involved in the predictions. Someone else has been on as well.
The other Dan?
Oh, Dan Worth came on the other week, didn't he, for one? He made one appearance. We may as well thank him as well. We'll thank Dan Rollinson, the laziest producer in town as well, for getting on board every week and barely talking to us and barely offering us any advice. Will we be back next season? Not sure. Probably not if I go around slagging everyone off, but hopefully you will. If not, enjoy the Euros in the summer. Have a great summer and tell all your friends and family about the podcast, and then we might come back.